Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. A flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a spirit flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your spirit flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, before you do anything else, click the radio microphone at the top of the homepage at Stamps.com and type in ghost. Get yourself up to $55 in free postage. It's like free money. A digital scale and a four-week trial. Stamps.com. Use promo code ghost. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did the spirit of a loved one return with a message through a beloved pet? A business trip is anything but normal as a ghostly encounter frightens one traveler. And a husband returns from the dead to comfort those missing his love.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed is 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Press subscribe. Leave us a review. Let us know you like the program. And if you really like it, support us. Our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to advanced episodes of the show weeks before they go public, as well as a brand new bonus episode, an EPP bonus episode we release every single week to 200, almost 220 some now, at ghostpodcast.com. Those are filled with some of our best stories right there. That keeps this thing afloat. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again as this episode falls. Pre-turkey week. So, there you go. Or do you do faux turkey, or do you just do something completely different just to completely say fuck it?
Since I am vegetarian. Yeah. Sometimes I just do the side dishes.
Okay.
Because I really don't want to be that person at the meal.
Yeah.
So I tend to kind of act like, I don't want to go, what's in that? What's in that?
Sure.
What's in that? So I try to just kind of stick with the salads and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I've actually had the I enjoy
the tofurkey is not good.
I've had one that was.
There's one that's called corn, like it's Q-U-O-R-N.
Uh-huh.
That one's really good.
I think that's the one I've had. It's like, is it like a green label?
I'm trying to picture. No, it's in an orange.
Okay.
But it's really good.
Yeah.
And, but you know, the thing is that when you go to a meal like that and you're like, hey, I'm vegetarian, it becomes the topic of the entire meal.
Yeah. And everyone wants
to
do
everything.
Well, how
do you get your protein?
Yeah.
That's the go-to question. I'm like, well, how do you get your vitamin C? Let's have that conversation.
Exactly.
But so it ends up being too much about my diet. And I'm like, you know, let's just, I'll eat this other stuff. No worries.
Yeah. Just, you know, bring the attention to yourself. Yeah. Because otherwise, yeah, I totally get it. It's, you bring something like that up and it's like, oh, dinner conversation other than the weather, you know.
Well, then they just stare at what you're eating. I'm like, who cares?
Yeah. Why do people do that? What is that?
Oh.
It's a very bizarre thing where it's like they're going to latch onto something that they, especially it's folks who know nothing about it.
Yeah.
And it's not even like a curiosity. It's almost like they're trying to convert you back into like eating meat or something, you know, because it's never like when you see that, it's never like, oh, OK, like they're trying to learn something. It's more like trying to justify why their way is better.
It feels judgy.
Yeah.
And I'd rather not get in that conversation, especially over Thanksgiving dinner.
It's like, okay, bring up something non-threatening. I know, the election.
That's go talking. Let's go back to talking about vegetarians.
It's like this is too deep. Let's talk about Trump.
Let's talk about politics.
Nothing could ever go wrong over a family conversation with that being brought up.
Let's add liquor in now.
And maybe a mental illness or two with a family member. And then everything.
Everybody's got that family member.
Undiagnosed mental illness, to be even more more specific. Undiagnosed mental illness, liquor, politics. And you got a recipe for one hell of a day.
Even if you don't have a crazy immediate family member, somebody's married one.
Yeah.
Like a crazy person.
I think that's
one at every holiday gathering.
And you see, and that's what I'm trying to be, I'm scared because right now it's lovely when we have Thanksgiving. It's just the four of us that are there. And I'm scared because the girls eventually are going to grow up and they're going to have significant others. And I hope to God, like, nobody brings home a crazy person, because right now we're on a pretty good, sane table. Nothing is, it's a peaceful holiday. It's like what you want. But I don't know. I worry about everything. So these things run through my mind now. Granted, they're 6 and 11 and this is running through my mind. But I'm just like, I think I'll bring it up over turkey this year. It's like, hey, girls, don't ever bring home a crazy person. Okay? Pass the stuffing. You know, that's how it's going to be. Like, what? Dad? Huh? Just saying. That's all. What time does the parade start tomorrow?
Just remember this.
Just remember.
Remember we had this conversation. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to say it once a year, right before I have the canned cranberries. And then we'll be done. That's the end of the conversation.
And pretty much all of my nieces and nephews, except for, maybe half of them, they've all at one time dated that crazy person.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? You're bringing that one?
Yeah. What do you do?
So not to stress you out.
It happens. And maybe sometimes you need the crazy to appreciate the sane.
Good Lord, half the guys I dated were crazy. Maybe three quarters.
Yeah, I dated plenty of crazy people too. It makes you appreciate the sane a lot more. It really does. So maybe I just kind of got to suck it up, be like, it's part of life. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to our first story. It says, before I get into my ghost story, I need to proceed this story by explaining that after my mother died in 1991, I would see what I would call the squiggles. I attribute that to be her spirit checking up on me. The squiggles is the wavy lines you see in the distance of any long flat road in the desert, indicating heat is rising from the earth. And now my story. My first cat was named Aunt Sue. And while I have had many cats since, the relationship I had with Aunt Sue was the most deeply incredible and personal relationship I've ever had with anyone, human or feline. She died in my living room on a Sunday afternoon. It was unexpected, and yet somehow I knew she was dying. So I sat with her and thanked her for her friendship and love and told her it was okay to leave. She took her last breath and she was gone over the Rainbow Bridge. The following week, I was working on my computer, which is on my desk next to my bed. I wasn't thinking of her at all. And then I heard her breathing coming from my bed. She sometimes had this rattle in her breath that sounded like she had asthma. I immediately stopped what I was working on and turned to the bed to pet her when I realized she was no longer with me. She wasn't sitting on my bed as I expected her to be. Instead, what I saw was the squiggles coming from the area where she used to nap. I knew she was there. This repeated for a few days, hearing her breathing on my bed, only this time I did not see the squiggles. At the time, I also had another cat who was somewhat feral and spent a good part of the time hiding from me. His name was Grumpy, and he was a very quiet cat. His purr was silent, and you had to feel his neck to know if he was purring. On the other hand, Aunt Sue had a very loud purr, and it was customary that every morning she would cuddle with me in bed and purr before I would get out of bed to start the day. The day after I picked her ashes up from the vet, I was having a small party with other pet-loving friends who understood the grief of losing a beloved pet. We were going to celebrate her life, and the following day, I had decided to pick up another cat that I would be adopting. That morning, I woke up and clearly heard Aunt Sue purring in the bed with me. I knew she was happy that I was having the party to celebrate her life and that was bringing another cat home. I knew that would be the last time I would hear from her. That is until I cross the Rainbow Bridge. No doubt she'll be the first to greet me. For now, I have some other cats to take care of. That's an interesting one. It's very common to have the things where you're hearing the animal again and feeling it around. The first time I've heard of kind of the squiggles, but I totally understand what she's saying with the mirage type image that you see with the heat.
I think that's so sweet.
No.
I do. You know, I have two senior pets, and I just got me all emotional. But it's a beautiful story, too.
It is. It was really a cool story of the animal coming back. It's funny. I just heard a story recently, and I've talked about this on the air, of the house I grew up in and the cat that I had till I was about, I don't know, 8 or 9, after it passed. For years later, I would feel it like jump on the end of the bed. And I never associated it with being paranormal. I just thought I was thinking things or feeling things, and it was weird, but she always did that. She always slept at the end of the bed. And during the show one day, I just connected the dots and went, oh my God, I think the cat had been doing that after it had died. I had a family member that stayed at that house in that very room within the last couple of months that was up there and said, it felt like there was a cat jumping on the end of the bed.
Oh, that's wild.
And this, I mean, the cat would now be 30 years old, or probably damn near 40 something now if it was still alive, because it died almost 30 years ago. But it's funny, I think it may still be hanging out in there and being a super senior pet, but my goodness.
And it's a really comfy bed.
Yeah, and it's just funny that it likes its thing and still maybe doing what it does. I've not slept in that room for years because when we go and visit, the girls sleep up there. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious if it's still going on. Sounds like it might well very well be. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Time right now, especially with the holidays, time is a precious thing. And going to the post office and waiting in line, something you probably don't really want to have to allot into that to-do list. If you got a lot of stuff to mail, packages, whether you're a business person, whether you're you got family in other states and you're going to be sending stuff out, stamps.com can be a complete lifesaver. It is like the post office on demand. Just like everything else on demand, this is what that is for your world. With stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk 24/7 when it's convenient for you. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, using your own computer and printer. Mail carrier stops by, picks it up. They may even be dressed like an elf. Just click print, mail, and you're done. Could not be easier. Right now, use our code GHOST for our special offer. Includes up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. We use stamps.com all the time to send out our packages, our bunk bed bells and spirit flasks. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage, type in GHOST. Stamps.com, enter in code GHOSTS, and you're welcome. GHOST is the code, GHOST at stamps.com. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to our next story. It says, I'd never experienced paranormal entities or strange things like this. It was just after the new year, this past January. I must travel for work, and they assigned me to take myself and my coworker to the Window Rock, Arizona area to present. On the way there, my coworker had told me that the last time she was there in Window Rock, she heard of something tapping on a metal noise outside her window around 5 a.m., when we got to the hotel, my coworker requested that we are put in different rooms away from her room last time. The concierge put us in two rooms, three doors down from the original room. When I got into my room, I was super stuffy feeling, like the atmosphere had this overly packed room feel to it. I didn't think about it much and continued my business about the room. I left the room for dinner and then returned to my room about 8:30. I continued doing all my paperwork and watching TV. The room still felt stuffy, but I turned the heater on for it. Was supposed to snow that night. I fell asleep with the TV on at about 11:30 p.m. I woke up again at 1 a.m. to turn the TV off. About 4 a.m., I woke up to hear this loud scratching noise, like sharp nails on wood. It was almost in my ear. I had my back facing the door and was confused, thinking it was the heater. I turned my body to see what was going on, and as I turned around, I saw this black figure kneeling right next to my bed. It looked like it was digging. I was immediately terrified and turned back over. Suddenly, I could hardly breathe and I couldn't move. The scratching noise kept getting louder. I managed to flip back around facing it. My eyes felt forced shut. I couldn't even speak or move to twitch the light on, but I couldn't. Finally, after about 3 minutes, I managed to yell the words, "Knock it off," and then silence. Everything fell silent. I was able to move to turn the light. I sat up in my bed and looked to where I saw the figure. There was nothing. The carpet was fine. The bed next to it had been untouched. I tried to fall back asleep with the light on, but it wasn't working. So I just laid there until my alarm went off. During breakfast, I was talking to my coworker about it, and she said she was up too and had problems sleeping the whole night. I told her about my experience, and she was stunned. We asked the hotel staff about it, and they said strange things happen all the time. And we told the concierge what had happened. She didn't make a big deal and said, "Well, we'll just put you in a room on the other side, like it's normal for this thing to happen." I refused to ever stay in Window Rock again, just out of fear. When I came back to my home in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I started to see it all. Figures out of the corner of my eye, strange things happening in the house I lived in at the time. I see them now. I don't understand why it is happening. I've lived here my whole life without seeing them. Now they choose to have me see them. I think about it all the time, but so long. That's my story. Thanks for listening. Oftentimes, you hear stories of like near-death experiences and then people being opened up to something paranormal. It's not that often where you have someone just has a passing paranormal experience and then they're opened up to it. What do you make of that?
Well, but like sometimes, haven't you ever had that feeling like you go someplace and you don't want to bring that home with you?
Sure.
So I think about that frequently. Like, I don't want to interact with anything in a weird hotel. So I'm like, I don't want it to go home with me. Maybe that's just me. Mm-hmm. But I always feel like it could.
Sure.
And it did.
There's quite often where...
I don't think you could sue the hotel for that.
I don't think you have any grounds to stand on with that.
I don't think so.
We have that quite often at antique stores. Where we're looking at stuff and it's like, oh, this is really neat, but there's mirrors on it. And that's a big deal breaker for Jen. If there's a mirror on something, or there has to be a way to remove the mirror and put something else there, or a fresh mirror from like at home or something.
A mirror that you just got at Walmart.
Exactly. Which I think those could be more haunted than anything else. But the
price will be great.
Exactly. Great deal. Great mirrors. Low prices. Haunted as fuck every day. Walmart. But the antique stuff, we were at a really neat antique store over the weekend. Actually, we drove up to, is Newton, is that the town directly north up Broadway there? Yeah. So we drove up there. There's a neat one downtown. Been there forever. Very narrow aisle one. And the upstairs is like an old apartment. Have you been to this one ever?
I have not.
It's a really cool one. Very cramped. It's almost like hoarders. But you go up there and you can tell it was an apartment at one point in time, probably in the 60s. All this old wallpaper, shag carpeting, and now it's just antiques lining up and down all the rooms of this apartment. And we've had experiences there before where Jen's just felt really uncomfortable and didn't like it, but loves going to that store because there's a lot of neat architectural stuff there. So we're going, walking up there, looking down the hall, and she just gets this weird look on her face, and I can tell she saw something. And she's looking down this hall. She's like, "Okay, I'm done. We can go now." I'm like, "What?" It's like, "We'll talk about it later." And she saw like basically kind of a small-ish shadow type thing move from one room to the next up there in this inn. And so immediately me and Harper kind of know something's up. So we just start going down the hall together to look at it and try and find something. And we didn't know what she had seen yet till afterwards, but I kind of knew that there was something up. And I didn't feel anything. I don't know if Harp did. Harp was like, "I'm going down there," because she's fearless. Some people pick up on that, some don't. I'd be one of them that don't. And I wouldn't know what you should and shouldn't buy in a place like that. Luckily, my Jen's kind of the compass on that, and will say, "Okay, even though this is cool, we're not going to get it."
Well, and I don't even know how to describe it. It's just this dark kind of feeling that comes over you. And it's like, it's kind of this weird panicky thing with me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
It's good to have that.
I gotta go.
Otherwise, it'd be very easy to take home a lot of haunted shit. I'm sure I probably would have over the years. We did get a marble. The nice lady who works there gave Harper a marble when we left. So let's hope to God it's not a haunted marble. 855-853-4802. We will. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next one says, hey guys, this isn't that scary of a story, but something myself and my children experienced after the sudden death of my husband. Back in 2010, my husband was killed in a tragic accident. We were out of town on vacation when the accident occurred, so it was another day before we could get back home to Louisiana. The very first night alone, I, of course, had my children sleeping with me. They were 8 and 10 at the time. They basically cried themselves to sleep in my arms. I couldn't sleep and was just lying in bed in the middle of them both. Now, I've lived in my house for many years and know every shadow cast, light reflection, etc. In my bedroom, I was laying there reliving the past 24 to 36 hours, and suddenly a black mass-like shadow emerged from the corner of my bed to the side of my bed next to me and the kids. Every hair on my body, including the little peach fuzz on my face and neck, stood on end. The best way to describe it was when you touch one of those electricity bowls and you're filled with static electricity. I wasn't scared at all, but had a sense of love and peace. I had the overwhelming feeling that it was my recently deceased husband. I immediately sat up and looked at the shadow mass. I stated, B, I know this is you. I can feel you. I'm okay with seeing you, but not like this. This mass appearance scares me. The shadow stayed for another moment, then took two steps to the corner again and just disappeared. I kept this to myself and pondered it for the rest of the night. The very next day, I had tons of family and friends over. The night my sis, brother-in-law, and BFF were all sitting outside with me, planning the funeral and reminiscing my late hubby. I was only drinking Diet Pepsi and was taking zero medication, sleeping pills, etc. I had nothing in me that could alter my perception. When I got up from the table outside to grab myself another Diet Pepsi, I froze at the back door. In the chair next to the door was my deceased husband, in his favorite LSU polo, jeans, belt, flip-flops, legs crossed, just sitting back listening to us. It was like he was completely solid. As I was staring at him, he turned his head to me and smiled, and I couldn't move. I was trying to process what I was seeing. When I looked back at the table outside and looked at this chair B was in, he was gone. I went inside and got my Pepsi and came back out. Everyone at the table just stopped and stared at me, and they said, what the hell is wrong with you? You look like you've seen a ghost. I then told them what I had just seen and walked over to the chair B was in. When I put my hands over the chair, all the hairs on my arms stood on end. Like the previous night, I called them over and they experienced the very same thing with the hair on their arms, which also gave them validation. Over the next week, myself, both of my children, B's best friends, several of our mutual friends, etc., all experienced paranormal activity regarding my late hubby, from smelling his cologne to hearing him speak. His phone would call me. I have AT&T, and the phone records can prove it. Lucid dreams, full apparitions. It was so much activity. I actually called my priest to speak with him to see if I needed a psychiatric consultation. I'm an RN. I would be submitting anyone for a psych consult if they told me these experiences. My priest told me not to worry, that everything I explained to him is extremely similar to what others have told him after a sudden death of a loved one. Now, being an RN, I've experienced weird and paranormal things that cannot be explained with dying patients, but I never experienced anything to this degree. It's been 7 years now that B has passed. We don't experience him anything as we did at the beginning anyway. We can tell he's around us on special days like the kids' birthdays, etc. Thank you so much for offering a platform for our experiences to be told. What you guys do is wonderful. Once I finish paying off my children's education, I plan on becoming an EPP. S in Louisiana. What's your thoughts on that one?
Oh... You know, I totally feel like when they die, I do believe that they're right there. Mm-hmm. And I think that she needed to see her husband. I think she needed to know that.
Sure.
But I also feel like they can continue being there, but not at that day-to-day constant level. Like, more like when you need them. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you just happen to find a penny or something. And to me, like, I find that very comforting, and I hope that she probably freaked her out at first, but I hope she did find it comforting and still does, because, you know, that's what her husband wanted. Mm-hmm. But God, that just touches my heart.
Yeah, I'll be, it's one of those experiences where it's really great that he came back and that it was understood who it was and why they were there. There wasn't really much question of, is this something dark or evil? But yeah. I guess it also kind of makes you think too, where, okay, not everything that shows up in and presents itself as dark is necessarily automatically bad. Right. Sometimes it is. It's the good. This is just how it's portraying itself. It's like where people are like shadow people, they're bad, they're evil. It's like, no, yeah. I think sometimes that's just how it's coming out. And that's, you kind of take
it. And I always felt like with my dad when he died, I'm like, what's time once you're dead?
Sure.
You know, it could be a year, it could be like 20 years. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I always felt like he would never leave me. I've felt that so strongly. Like, while I'm on this earth and his kids are on this earth, he'll never totally move on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that he just needs to know his kids are okay. I've always felt that very strongly.
And I think,
you know, she had kids that were pretty young too.
Yeah. I think that's a very, you know, realistic thing. I mean, if I were to pass or something early, that I would not want to be moving on anywhere else. Until I would follow them around, not like stalker, mm-hmm. but I would, you know, I'd try and help out when I could, you know, freak out the grandkids a little bit, you know, stuff like that. Start the dishwasher for no real reason. Stuff like that.
I'm telling you, I would love to have that ghost that would do my dishes.
Exactly.
And let the dog out when the dog needs to go. I'd be totally okay with that.
Be helpful and creepy all at the same time. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's do one more call here before we wrap things up for the evening. Hi, you are on the air. It's your story.
Hi, this is Derek. I called and told you guys another story a few weeks ago about staying at my husband's aunt and uncle's house, actually my aunt and uncle too, but staying at their house and how the dogs went crazy and the creepiness that happened from that. And I thought, I wonder if the viewers are going to think to themselves, how could he stay in the house after that happened? Well, that was because the story I'm about to tell you happened first, and it prepared me for anything else I might have encountered, because this is the most horrifying thing that has ever happened to me. So, this is 1999. I was at Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio. That campus it's got a few hauntings of its own. If you just look at Bowling Green State University, it has a lot of things that have gone on. But this is not on the books. This is not something you'll be able to read about. So, this is the second year that I am at school. This is the night before the first day of classes, and it so happened that it was the night that the drag queens performed at a bar downtown. So my next door neighbor, I happened to not be the only gay person on the floor that year, and I asked him if he wanted to go. He had honors classes, and he said, I had all this homework, you know, I really don't want to do it, but thanks for offering. So right before I'm about to leave, he runs up and says, hey, are you still going? And I'm like, yeah. So he said, okay, are you going to stay all night? And I said, no, I just wanted to see a few people, stay for a little while and call in an early night. So, excuse me, he comes with me. And he said, okay, I'll go with you as long as, you know, we don't stay all night. If you're going to come back early, I'll come with you. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So, you know, I check in with him every now and then, 11 o'clock. I'm like, you ready? And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm having a good time. You know, midnight, no, I'm good, we're having a good time. 1 o'clock, 2 a.m., he's like, okay, now I need to go. I got to start my homework. And I'm like, okay. So we go back, and where the freshmen and sophomores had to park, it was probably a good mile or more at the time from where I lived. And I had made the walk 100 times, and I was not worried about it. And so we're almost back, and he says, hey, would you mind dropping me off at the dorm and then parking, walking back by yourself, because I really got to get going on this homework? And I'm like, yeah, you have honors classes, I get it. So I drop him off, I go, and the way you do it is that you have to park way out by the highway, which is past the football field. You walk like the width of the football field to get back, not the length of it, but then you walk the length of an entire soccer field. So I park in the back. I begin my walk. I get past the football field, and right when I hit the soccer field, I'm hearing this noise, and this is what I'm hearing. It goes, oh, 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 So mind you, the whole time I'm telling you the story, I want you to picture that noise happening every 3 seconds, because that's how it occurred. I'm walking and I'm looking around and I'm thinking to myself, it is 2 a.m. Who is out here being so loquacious this time of night? And I'm thinking they're going to wake everybody up. They're probably drunk. So I'm looking around and I don't see anything, but I am hearing this noise consistently. I'm like, somebody has to be drunk. They just couldn't hold it. I'm like, but class is tomorrow. Why would you get drunk? Nobody, but I don't see anything. And, you know, it keeps happening and it goes from annoyance to curiosity to kind of, it starts to get into fear. So curiosity stage, I'm thinking, okay, I'm trying to, you know, think of reasons why I could be hearing this noise. So I'm looking around, I'm like, maybe the fraternities, they get dressed up sometimes and serenade the sororities. Maybe they're doing that. But I said, no, they don't do that at 2 a.m. because they get dressed up in tuxes to do this. So they're definitely not doing it now. And I'm walking, I'm looking around. Soccer field to the right of me, the grass is very short, and the nearest place where you could hide, you would have to be Usain Bolt to, like, get there and not be seen. To, like, jump out from somewhere and just be standing there and not be seen, I should say. So I'm walking, looking all around, I'm not seeing anything. I get to the dead center of the soccer field, and the noise is coming directly from my right-hand side. And my head snaps, and I'm like, okay, that's creepy, because there is nobody there. Nobody could be laying in the grass, because, again, it's too short. Like, nobody could hide anywhere. I'm like, where is this noise coming from? So at this point, I have a knife that I would carry on me for protection. I have it out to stabbing position, thinking to myself, I hope nobody's playing a prank, because I will kill them, apologize, and explain my side of it. But I was ready to stab somebody if the need came to it. So I'm looking around. I'm like, maybe somebody's trying to distract me because they want to kill me. Like, what the hell is going on? So I'm spinning, doing 360s as I'm walking the whole time and hearing the noise, not seeing anything, freaking out. And I get to the point where I can cross the street and be, like, away from where, like, the soccer field and everything, and be closer to my building. So I take, you know, a final spin because, mind you, the whole time I'm just turning around looking. Take a final spin, and I'm about to just walk and keep my back to the field. And this took me like 2 seconds to think this. I'm like, wait, turn around and look back. Just something told me, turn around and look back. Turn around. I look, and dead in the center of the field, where I was hearing the noise coming directly from my right-hand side at one point, there is a man standing dead center of the field. He's got on khakis, a blood-red shirt, long black hair. His arms are perfectly still at his sides. His face, he has an eerie glow about him. And his face had an eerie glow, but that was because it was a complete white void. There were no features. So he's standing there going, oh. And I said, you got to be fucking kidding me. I just walked all the way through here hearing this noise, but there was nothing there. I was like, he wasn't there before. So my curiosity gets the better of me, and I start walking towards him. I get about 10 steps in, and then I stop myself and think, wait a minute, the black man is always the first to die in the horror movie. You better go get a non-black person to come verify this with you. So I go back to the dorm, and I was trying to find somebody, just anybody really, who was up. So I go to the front desk. The woman who's at the front desk, is the night watch person. She can't leave her post, and I'm telling her about it. She's like, I would love to go with you, but I'll get fired. I'm like, ah. So I go up to the guy who was my next door neighbor, and I said, hey, can you please come out with me? I need to verify this. And he's like, oh, he was like, this sounds creepy, but I really got a lot of homework to do. I don't think you believe me. He kind of blew me off. He ended up being an asshole anyway. Just in general, like, nobody really liked him. And then my roommate was asleep. So I just thought, okay, I'm not going to another floor, because every time I walk past a dark computer lab or a window, I kept thinking he's going to be right there chanting at it. So I was like, I'm just going to go to bed and chalk this up as a loss. But this is nothing I have ever read about, like, any of the legends on campus as far as, like, things that have happened. There's all kinds of stuff, but there's nothing about what I thought to be, like, a Native American guy chanting in the middle of the field. So it was the creepiest thing that ever happened to me. I am horripilating as we speak. My arms are covered. So every time I tell somebody about this, it freaks me out. But that is why, like, when you see me, like, I have a lot more ghost stories I'll tell you guys, but I'm able to rationalize things as I'm going through, like, oh, yeah, it's probably a ghost, and I'm going to have to deal with it. This is why. After seeing something like that, it just, everything else is kind of, like, not as frightening. So, Halloween time, I hope you enjoyed one of my experiences. I'll be calling you guys back with a lot more. And take care.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us. That would be horrifying, seeing that and experiencing that and kind of getting blown off by everybody. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
He's a great storyteller.
Yeah.
And he's got a really great voice. But, like, it cracked me up because the one guy's like, nah, I got homework. The guy was probably, like, on the side, hell no. There's no way I'm going to go look at that with you.
Let's go find the ghost Native American out there and see what...
I've got homework. Sorry.
Yeah.
Can't leave my post here. I'd love to go with you.
I think I would be curious. I don't know. I guess it depends, like, what stage of life you're talking about Tony being in, if I were to be asked to go and check this out. It'd be a part where I'd be like, hell no, and a part where I'd be like, yeah, let's go. This kind of depends. And you?
There is no way.
Never.
I wouldn't even make up the stupid homework story. I'd be like, hell no. You saw it. That's good enough for me.
It's a ghost. I believe you.
I don't have to verify it. Said you saw it. You verified it, right?
It happened. It's done. There's no extra verification needed. Yeah, that was a good one. Thank you for calling in and sharing that. I know he has Derek has another story he's called in. We'll probably have here on a very soon upcoming episode. So I'm looking forward to hearing that one. That's going to wrap up the program for today. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you really like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. Get advanced episodes of the show weeks before they go public. Weekly EPP bonus episodes exclusively for EPP members. Video content, a whole lot more exclusively there. $5 a month is all we ask. You get access to all of that right there, and you help keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.